A very good evening. Welcome along to this edition of Gospel for You. Our theme today is freely give. What does it mean to give freely? And if you don't think you have received freely, how on earth are you able to give? Well, it's a case of give what you have, not what you don't have. And it's not just about money. So Jesus taught about these things. Matthew chapter 10 verse 8. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And with that, Jesus was instructing his disciples when he sent them out. He sent them out after having spent time with him, with his authority. There's one other scripture we'll be referring to, and that's Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. Words to think about as we go into this program. So what can we expect in this program? Well, we're going to be doing things slightly differently because we have for you not just one, but two testimonies of people who have been through really difficult situations. And I know that we've broadcast these before, but it may well be that there are listeners listening tonight who have not yet heard these. So we'll be hearing first of all from John Buchan, who comes from the Peterhead area, and he had written a book called Saved by Grace. And that book really highlights, though everything went wrong for him, but God's goodness to him. And he was able to give back to God freely through his testimony. We're also hearing from Diane Phillips, who has actually come over from the States, and she's working in Banff right at the moment. But her testimony, which we went to record a couple of years back, is definitely well worthwhile listening to. She's even recorded a song, and again, that song expresses so much gratitude to God. Diane now uses that experience that she had, experiences and her faith, to shine out for God. You'll also be hearing your gospel, that's John 3:16, in Slovak, Portuguese and Croatian. And we'll be finishing up at the end of the show with an opportunity for you to respond in prayer to what you've heard.
This is your gospel in Slovak.
Toto je tvoje evanjelium v slovenčine. Lebo takto Boh miloval svet, svojho jednorodeného syna dal, aby nezahynul, ale večný život mal každý, kto v neho verí.
This is Gospel for Grampian, and we've come through to the house of John and Francis Buchan. Particularly we have here John, who is a living example of God's grace and mercy. Francis is also here sitting in on this testimony. But John, can I welcome you to Gospel for Grampian?
Thank you. Yes.
John, could you tell us what you've been through? An amazing life. A life in which you have been saved so many times through God's grace. Before we even come to this a terrible accident that you went through, could you really start relating some of what your life was like before that?
Okay, Robert. Well, my life was very busy, I expect. It was always busy before the accident. Well, I was busy at work, busy at home. Eldest daughter was just married 2 weeks before the accident, so build-up was busy to that. But previously, I was busy fishing, run my own business, and then I started working in Aberdeen. Just a busy life.
Yes. In your book, Spared by Grace, it shows how you were saved many times, even as you got off the boat once in Peterhead. Mm-hmm. And you fell down between the boat and the harbour wall. And then there were other times as well that God saved you.
That's right, Rob. Yes, that's right. Remarkable, really. I was involved in a serious collision in the English Channel, which everyone survived without injury many things in my life, which and it's sometimes easier to see these things looking back. It's not always clear at the time.
Okay.
Looking back, it's very clear, and I was piecing that together. Yeah.
But that took a little bit of time to come back to you after.
Yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. I had very little memories initially. Once I first came out of coma, and for a number of weeks, and gradually things have came back.
Could we now come to the main testimony itself? If you could relate that to us, please.
Okay. Okay. Well, I would first of all like to thank you for the opportunity to come and share some of the remarkable things that God has taken me and my family through. I would like to read Psalm 105, verse 1 to start with. It reads, "Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done." I really have been given a remarkable story. And I will come to that in a minute, but I'll give you a brief background first. I was privileged to have been brought up in a Christian home in Peterhead. Even though I attended Sunday school as a youngster, I never gave God much thought. And I left Sunday school, and went fishing on a family boat and met Frances, my wife, a few years later and started attending Peterhead Baptist Church. Now, one night many years ago, the pastor spoke about the wide and narrow roads of life, and that we were all travelling on one or the other. And this really challenged me that night, because I felt at the time I was on the fence. So I was convicted of my sin. I asked the Lord for his forgiveness and to come into my heart that night. I was saved. Many years have passed since then. Seemed to have flown by. We were married with three wonderful children. We got a second boat. The business grew and expanded, and the fishing business was sold in 2003, and I worked on various research vessels for a few years, then started working onshore in Aberdeen 2011. And that's basically the background up until Pipper. Now, in June 2014, I was on my way to work in Aberdeen when I was involved in a very serious car crash just a few miles from Peterhead. I was cut out the car and transported by air ambulance to Aberdeen Royal Infirmary. Sadly, the driver of the other car died. Shortly afterwards, the police advised Francis and my family that I had been seriously injured and airlifted to hospital. And so they set off and made their way to ARI. On arrival, a doctor listed my injuries and made it quite clearly how serious they were when he said, I would like to make you aware, we wouldn't normally expect someone with these injuries to make it to hospital. Extensive surgery followed, 13 hours on the first day, and that was followed by two further 8-hour operations. I had sustained two collapsed lungs, a skull fracture, brain injury, lacerated spleen, two lumbar spine fractures, and extensive fractures to both legs and forearms. It was said one day in the fracture clinic, your upper arms are the only long bones in your body that weren't broken. The result of all the surgery is now 65 pieces of metal holding me together. A doctor remarked one day, she said, "I try not to use the word miracle in any context, but it really is a miracle you're alive. Medically speaking, you shouldn't be here." I spent 12 days in intensive care, most of them in a coma. Francis describes intensive care as a real leveller. It doesn't matter who you are, what you have or what you've done. Every patient is in a critical condition. Life is so precious. Every patient receives the best available medical care. The only thing that makes any difference is if you have Jesus Christ as your saviour, or if you don't. Without Christ, there's no hope. With Christ, there's great hope, no matter what happens. We're reading Job 27, verse 8. For what hope has the godless when he's cut off, when God takes away his life? Now, one night, while I was in intensive care, a consultant advised Francis I'd developed an infection from the ventilator. This was not an uncommon thing, but he went on to say, if the infection reaches or spreads to the metalwork, it's beyond treatment. Francis texted family and close friends and asked them to pray specifically against infection. Remarkable outcome. The infection never spread and completely cleared up. And throughout almost 6 months in hospital, I never developed another infection. On one particular occasion, the entire orthopaedic ward had a stomach bug, and almost every patient and many staff were affected, but again, this was kept from me. Now, some might see this as good fortune, but remember the lacerated spleen. According to the NHS, the main function of the spleen is to help fight infection. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. James 5, verse 16. There have been many doctors, consultants, and medical staff who have expressed their amazement at my recovery. No doubt, I'm sure, this is more answered prayer. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Matthew 21, 22. A few months after the accident, I saw a consultant from general surgery who said, I was there when you were brought into A&E and saw the initial scans and x-rays. It really is quite amazing to see you sitting here. I helped stop the bleeding and managed to save your spleen, but considering the other injuries, he felt his contribution was fairly minimal. At my first appointment at the neuropsychology clinic, the doctor was also amazed. Her words were, considering the brain injury you sustained, it's really quite amazing that we're sitting here having this conversation. At a further follow-up appointment, another doctor gave more details of the injury and said more than once, given the damage to your brain, which was widespread and extensive, you've made quite a remarkable recovery. Now, there have been several appointments with my orthopaedic consultant. On each occasion, he has simply said, your recovery is quite amazing. The first time I met him, I was in a wheelchair, and after studying the x-rays, he said, considering your extensive injuries, I wouldn't have been surprised if any one of the fractures had taken 3 years to recover from. But to have them all together and be sitting here like this really is quite amazing. Just before we left, he also said, Mr. Buchan, it's been great to meet you. And although we've never met before, he says, I know all about you. He then laughed. He says, your x-rays were on display in the tea room for weeks. God is in control of all things, and if it's his will, he still continues to perform miracles. Another unexplained fact, which many people find difficult to accept. Throughout this whole journey, I've never felt any pain. This really is truly remarkable. But maybe we shouldn't be surprised. Job 5, verse 9 says, "He performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted." Philippians 4, 6 and 7 reads, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Although over 5 years has now passed since the accident, I still find it difficult to explain the peace I've experienced throughout this journey. Undoubtedly, I've been held up by many prayers, but as the verse says, it really is beyond understanding. I don't remember at any time not completely accepting the situation God had put me in. I never once doubted or questioned it. I really was so thankful to be alive. The only question I've ever had, and still do, was why was I spared? For death is the destiny of every man. The living should take this to heart. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 2. This whole thing has made the inevitability of death very real to me. Yes, we all know about death, but don't often think about it. I'm sure it never crossed my mind as I left for work that summer's morning. But the Bible speaks about the brevity or briefness of life. And I would urge anyone listening to give serious thought to where they'll spend eternity. Death can come to any of us in an instant, at any time. I'm living proof of the power of prayer. I've been at times overwhelmed by the number of people who prayed for me. Many times people I'd never met before. It's quite amazing how prayer requests are passed throughout God's people. I find this truly humbling as people die from less serious accidents every day. If I was to try and sum up everything, I would have to say, pray about everything. Nothing is too big and nothing is too small to bring before God and leave it in His hands. As you've mentioned, Rob, I recently published Spared by Grace, which, having sustained a serious brain injury, is a miracle itself and is something I would never have thought possible. The book records many answered prayers, from the prevention of infection to accessing a suitable wheelchair and how my completely lost wedding ring was returned. My hope and prayer is that the book will strengthen people in their faith. And there have already been some remarkable reviews, which is also very encouraging. I'll give you just a couple of examples. One says, a truly amazing story of grace. It's a story of miracle after miracle, and it has left me moved, encouraged, and in awe of God. And another one: if you don't believe in miracles, just read this story, and I guarantee you, you will change your opinion. Doctors, friends, and family stand in awe of the work of God and His grace. And to finish, I'll just read a favourite verse of Francis's. "For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old." Acts 4:22. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, John Buck. And can I ask what your vision is for the future? Just go on telling about God's grace to you?
Yes, yes. It doesn't always make it easy, Rob, but we thought from early on, if we're asked, I think it's only right to share what God has done.
Excellent. John Buck, thank you.
Thank you.
Around the world.
This is your gospel in Portuguese.
Este é o teu evangelho em português.
João 3:16 da manhã, Nova Tradução Viva 16. Porque Deus amou o mundo assim, deu o seu Filho unigênito, para que todo aquele que nele crer não pereça, mas tenha a vida eterna.
This is Gospel for You, where our theme is freely give. This is based on Jesus' teaching and especially from Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, where Jesus tells his disciples to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Those disciples going out with Jesus' authority. In this Gospel for You program, you have heard your gospel in Portuguese, a testimony from John Buchan, and your gospel in Slovak. Still to come in this program, we now have a testimony from Diane Phillips, and a little bit later on, you'll get to hear your gospel in Croatian. You also get to respond in prayer if you believe that Christ Jesus can be your Lord and Saviour. A couple of days ago, we went to Banff and visited Diane Phillips, who is a missionary and in the Riverside Church in Banff. Her story was actually electrifying. Why? I think you better listen to it for yourselves.
I came from a very abusive home. My parents didn't know Christ, so I didn't know anything about the Lord as a child. I don't remember a lot of my childhood, especially nothing good. I do remember, however, that a lovely family came by our house, and their last name was Little Bridges, and they invited the whole family to a revival meeting. And I was the only one in the family that wanted to go. And that was because I felt safer with strangers than I did in the home. I was 12 years old at that time. So a revival in America lasts a week. I didn't know who they were talking about. I didn't know anything about God. So I was not listening or paying attention. But on the last night, the evangelist, his name, I still remember his name, is Brother John Humphreys. He said, "I know a man that loves you unconditional." Well, the word love, it piqued my interest, because that's all I ever wanted, was to be loved. And so I heard him talking about this man who loves you in spite of who you are. And I couldn't believe that, because I was so dirty. I was so damaged. I was so unclean that how could he love me? He doesn't understand what I've been through and the hatred that I had in my heart for those around me because of the abuse that I was in. But he said that God wanted me just the way I was, that I didn't have to change, that he loved me just as I was. And he said a verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." But he said something that didn't mean a thing to me, because I didn't know. But he said, "I want you to put your name in there." And I said, "For God so loved Diane, God loves Diane, that he would give his only son for Diane, that if I accepted him, that I, Diane, could have everlasting life." Oh, I so wanted it. I so wanted to be loved. But I was still listening, and I was saying, "But you still got to go home. You still got to go home." And the we call it an altar call or the invitation to accept Christ. And they sung "Just As I Am." Thank goodness they sung all the verses, and there were many verses to "Just As I Am." And I'm telling you, it was just like I had one voice saying, "Oh, you don't want this because you have to go home, and you really don't deserve it." And then I had this other voice in my head saying, "I love you. Come. I love you. You are worthy." And I was fighting. My knuckles were on the pew in front of me as a 12-year-old, and they were white as could be. And I was fighting. I want to be loved. I want to be loved. Well, I finally surrendered, and I took that first step. I can't tell you if I floated down the aisle, if I ran down the aisle, or how I got down the aisle, but I got down the aisle. And I just felt stuff coming off of me, of my shoulders, and I accepted Christ as my Savior. And Brother John Humphreys gave me a Bible because I didn't have one. And I took that Bible home, and I was acting like I was a preacher, and I was just reading God's Word. Didn't know anything about it, but it penetrated my heart. And it changed who I was, even to the fact that Dad came in there and said, "If you don't stop reading that out loud, I'm going to burn that book." So, I mean, it was effective. Reading God's Word out loud was even affecting him. So I would find myself just reading God's Word. I would ride my bike to church every time the door was open. And I'm going to fast forward to the age of 16. I felt God calling me into missions full time. So I went down, and our pastor was Brother John Walker. And he said, "Diane," he says, "we can't accept you into the ministry until we get your parents' approval." So he comes to my house, and my parents say no. And so here I am at the age of 16 thinking, what kind of person am I to tell God that I'm going to do something and I can't do it? So there's defeat again. I'm damaged goods, but yet God loves me. And so I move forward. I move on. I get an education, a master's in accounting. And I get married, and life happens. I have two beautiful girls. I was married for almost 30 years, and find out that my husband is gay. And when I told him, I said, "I'll forgive you," because I meant my vows. "I'm willing to forgive you." And he says, "I don't want your forgiveness. I want both of you." And I said, "You can't have us both." And I said, "You're going to have to choose." And so he chose Bill. And I asked him this question. I said, "Ricky, why did you marry me?" He says, "Because you were a safe place." He says, "I never loved you, Diane. You were just a safe place. And besides, who could love you?" And my heart just broke. Here I am. Maybe everything that Mom and Dad and my brothers and sisters was telling me was true. That I'm not worthy. But God, I push on. I push through. And then I left God. At the age of 43, I had my first drink of alcohol. I was working with Deloitte. And I was just, okay, if you can't beat them, join them. And I left God. And I went out at night. And, I mean, I felt dirty, and I felt, okay, this is what I deserve. And I remember one morning, a Saturday morning, I woke up and I was over the toilet where I had slept all night because I'd been throwing up all night. And I said, okay, no more. So I went to a local church. God is so good. They were having a retreat. And they said, we have one more spot left for you. And I went, and that's when I rededicated my life to God. And he never left me, but I left him. And then after that, I started serving him because he is worthy to be praised and to be honored. And so he's given me another chance to love him and to do his will. And so that was when I went on my first mission trip with Athletes in Action. And I went to Kerala, India. And it was wonderful. I mean, the kids there, they don't know that they don't have. They don't know that they're without. And it just breaks your heart and it makes you realize that, okay, I've got way much more than what I need, so I'm going to give to others. And that's where my heart of giving started. So I was working with Deloitte, and Deloitte sent me to Columbia, South Carolina right after that. And that's when I went to Mozambique. I had just got divorced from my husband. I didn't believe in divorce because I thought I was not supposed to, but a pastor told me that, Diane, it's okay because, your husband actually committed adultery. And so it's okay to get a divorce. And so I got a divorce, and then I thought, okay, I wanna serve God. I have no ties, and so I went to the Baptist Mission Board and said, hey, I feel called into the, at the age of 16 I was called into the mission, but my parents wouldn't let me. But I'm old enough now, and they said, are you married? I said, no, I just got divorced. And they said, oh well, we can't accept you until after you've been divorced for 2 years. And I thought, oh no. So the church that I was attending in South Carolina, they were going to Mozambique, but they were going to Mozambique to storytell about how men and women should come together that are married, and how it's an equal role, and how a man should treat his wife and how a wife should treat her husband. And I'm thinking, God, I'm divorced. What have I got to say? Well, I heard God and I was obedient. So I told them that I felt like God was calling me, and they said, yes, Diane, we want you part of our team. And so we got over to Mozambique, and we were in the bush. I mean, out in the bush. And so, because I was the only one not married, the girl slept in one tent and the guy slept in another tent. And my storytelling part was the armor of God. And so the next morning when we got up, my right eye was swollen. I had gotten bit by some type of bug. And the pastor came over and he says, Diane, it's just Satan attacking you. He says, you stay back here and I'll leave an interpreter with you, and we'll go further out into the village, into the bush, and you just get prepared because we want you to do the armor of God storytelling. And so I was in the tent, and I'm one not to just sit around. And so I pulled the tent back, and I see there's about 50 kids squatting down across a little dirt road, and they were just looking. And I called the interpreter over, And I said, what's going on here? And he says, they're waiting for the white woman to come out. And I realized that was me. And so being a coach, I said, okay, call them over. And we did relay races. And then we did duck, duck, goose. But they didn't understand goose, so we did duck, duck, okay. And then I taught them the song, If You're Happy and You Know It. And all of a sudden, this girl raises her hand, and she says, why are you here? And God, I realized why I came on the trip. Because we didn't plan for the kids, but God planned for the kids. So I told her that God sent me here to tell her that God loves her and that He has a purpose for her life. And every one of the kids that were there, God loves them. And He has a purpose for them. And that's why God wanted me on that trip, because then I ministered to those kids, shared Bible stories with them, and they came back every single day, and I shared God's love with them and loved on them. So God has a purpose for every one of us, no matter how young we are, no matter how old we are. So I'm going to fast forward a little bit. I retired with Deloitte in Arlington, Texas in 2012. And so I contracted myself out after I retired. But in April 27th, 2014, my life totally changed. That was a Sunday. I didn't go to church that morning because I didn't feel good. I lived by myself. And I heard a small, still voice saying, Diane, you need to go to church. And I said, I don't feel like it. Diane, you need to go to church. I said, God, I don't feel like it. Diane, you need to go to church. And just like a spoiled little brat, I said, okay, God, I'm going to go to church, but you better show me that you are my God and that I am your child. I'm just being honest with you. That's how I was. And so I get up, I get dressed, and I go to church. I normally sing in the choir, but I wasn't feeling good, so I was out in the congregation. And we stood up to sing, and on the screen where there's words for the song, my right eye went blind. I couldn't see. So I sat down, and I said, okay, God, just let me get to the prayer. And then I'll go back home, because I didn't want to disturb anybody. And so the prayer came. I stood up. And the next thing I remember, I woke up in intensive care at Mansfield Methodist Hospital. And I heard these voices. If they hadn't have acted so quickly, this woman would not be alive. I couldn't speak verbally because I had just had a massive stroke. I couldn't move the right side of my body. But in my heart, I could thank God and recognize that God showed me that I was His child and that He was my God. And I wouldn't concentrate on what I couldn't do, but on what I could do. And what I could do is praise His holy name. When I spoke, I sounded like a 2-year-old. And not complete sentences. It was garbage. It was all muddled together and it was incomplete. But I could still praise God in that incompleteness. I didn't know how to add. I have a master's in accounting. I couldn't add 1 + 1. I didn't know my ABCs. I couldn't write. I had to learn how to read again and how to write and all of that stuff. And so I was in rehab. I would go every day. They would come and pick me up. Well, another day was a defining day for me. On July 4th, they found me in a corner And I was screaming in that two-year-old voice, "No more! No, stop!" For you see, on July the 4th, when I was 12 years old, before I accepted Christ as my Savior, my brother and three of his friends gang-raped me. After I became a Christian, I was able to put all the abuse out of my head, but after I had the stroke, I didn't know how, and it was all in the front. And so they found me in the corner screaming. So they diagnosed me with post-traumatic stress syndrome, and they sent me to a psychologist, and praise God, he was a Christian. And he had told me that I had probably been abused as early as 3, but I don't remember because I pushed it all back out of my head. The first day I went into his office, these are the words that he said to me. He says, "Diane, I need you to take off your shoes because you're getting ready to get on holy ground." And that man prayed the Bible to me, through me, and all of the generational curses out of me. And he did that. I went probably for a good 6 months. And then we got to a point, he says, "Diane, we've done all we can do now. The rest is up to you." And he says, "What you have to do is you have to forgive your abusers and you have to forgive yourself." And that was scary for me. Because you see, I still sounded like a 2-year-old. I couldn't, you know, but those words resonated with me after they dropped me off at the house. And I said, "Okay, God," in a 2-year-old voice, I want to forgive, but I have a question. And I need you to answer it, and I need to hear your voice like I've never heard it before. God, I need to know, where were you during every single time I was being abused? I need to know, God, where were you?" And he said to me, "My sweet daughter, that was not my choice for you or my intent. That was man's choice for you. Oh, my sweet girl, I want you to know I was right there grieving every single time you were being abused." Well, that just touched my heart deeply. And so I said, "Okay, God, I'll forgive." So I forgived every single abuser in my life, my dad, my mom, my brothers, my sisters, their friends, my uncle, every single abuser. And I even forgave myself. And I tell you, when I did that, the chains fell off. Freedom happened. I was a different person. I didn't have to be somebody, 2 different people. This person who'd been abused all of her life and this person who accepted Christ. They were all the same person now. It was one. And I felt so free. So what you see is what you get. And it was, I was no longer damaged goods because God had healed me. A week later, I get up. And I've been totally healed. I have my voice back. I go into the rehab and I said, "Good morning, everybody." They said, "Diane, what happened?" And I said, "God healed me." And so you have all these doctors around doing cognitive tests and running all kinds of x-rays and doing questions and... And then I'm across the table with these 4 doctors. And they said, "Diane, medically, there is no reason why you should be healed. You are a walking miracle. And you need to thank your God." And I said, "I do. thank my God, and will praise him for the rest of my life. So I went to discipleship school in Waco, Texas at Antioch, and then church planting school. God had called me to Ireland for 3 years, and now I'm here in Scotland for 3 years. I asked God, why me, Lord? And he says, Diane, you remember that 16-year-old girl that walked down the aisle that said, I will give you my life full-time missions? He says, Diane, now is the fruition of that. He says, I still want you, my daughter. I called you and I meant it. And at 63, I was able to answer the call that I walked down the aisle at 16. God loves me. He was with me. He protected me. And I thank God for every single thing that I went through. Because yes, I still have the scars on me. But the scars are not what defines me. God is what defines me. My Heavenly Father is who defines me. And he says that I am worthy, and that I am his beautiful daughter, and that I am his bride, and that he wants me and he desires me. And that intimate relationship that I have with him is so important to me, and not only to me, but to him, because he wants that. He desires that. And I want to serve him for the rest of my life. And that's why I'm here. And that's why I tell you this story, is because what he's done for me, he can do for you.
Diane has also written a book, and she'll be giving an overview of that book and singing a song as well that she has written. And I may say that she has sung that with great passion.
The book is basically my childhood growing up. There's different characters, and the main character is a paraclete, and he has many different colors of feathers on his coat, and each of those colors represent different things, and how he treated people as he met them through his life. So I didn't feel love. So one of the colors represents love. I was alone a lot of times. I felt like that I raised myself. So another color represents sadness. And another color represents just having someone come alongside you and teaching you how to grow up, because I didn't have that from my family. And then another color is about fear and how we can overcome our fears. So I will read the last portion of the book. And by the way, if anybody's out there that is a publisher that wants to publish this book, you can get in touch with me. But here's the last excerpt of it. As Benji and I turned around and started back home, I could tell Benji was in deep thought. And then he said, Grandpa, will I ever have a coat like yours when I grow up? And Grandpa said, Benji, that depends on the people you meet and how you treat them. Remember I told you about Peter the Porcupine and how I loved him when no one else did, and Billy the Bloodhound, how I helped him through his sadness by making him his simple chew toy, and Bucky's adventures while growing up, and last of all, Fifi the fainting goat and her great fear. These adventures all changed my coat. So what we do when we meet people in need determines how we look to others. So you see, Benji, the color of your coat is all up to you. And I wrote a song took me about 10 minutes. And this song was after my ex told me that he never loved me. But I knew someone who did. I wake up every morning with him on my mind. I can't help but praise him all the time. His goodness, his mercies are fresh every day, providing me with his love in every way. I just want to praise his name. I just want to praise his name. He shed his blood on the cross for you and me. And if we accept him, that's when we are freed. His grace, forgiveness, provided to me. And this is what gives me a new identity. I just want to praise his name. I just want to praise his name. Preserver of life for every man. Giving freedom to all in the land. He's holy, my Father, the great I am, Savior, Redeemer, the Holy Lamb. I just want to praise his name. I just want to praise his name. I just want to praise his name. Yeah, I just want to praise his name.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Diane, that was truly electric. Thank you so, so much for that. Now, you did hear clapping. You weren't imagining it because we were joined in the room, not only by myself, but by Diane's pastor, Rob, also one of Diane's friends, my wife, Helen, and myself. It was really, really great. Thank you very much, Diane. And you sang that song and you spoke with such passion. I don't think people could fail to be moved or touched by what you said. Thank you once again. A testimony from Diane Phillips, and what a testimony, and indeed what a song of gratitude. Both John Birkin and Diane Phillips using what God has given them to actually glorify God and to serve others. And all we're required to do is to go out and serve ourselves. It's not all about money. It's not even all about resources, although it can be. But it's all about what we have. And sometimes what we have is not out there, but what we have is within each one of us. Sometimes it takes a difficulty, a challenge, a circumstance to help us to focus on what we have within us. And I know some people who, through circumstance and disease or accident, had become blind and yet had actually focused on using what they had rather than what they didn't have. Each and every person is called to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And when we give freely of ourselves and our time, our abilities, yes, and our resources, our lives can be lived to the full. We have also a scripture which I believe is important at this time. In John 10, verse 10, which is the core scripture for Gospel for Grampian radio station, Jesus said, "The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I've come that they may have life to the full." What does life to the full mean, look like to you, and what did it mean to Christ? To Christ, it meant, again, what we've been talking about, is giving of ourselves with what we have and living our life to the full. Live life to the full with what you have. And you'll be surprised. And as a consequence of living that life to the full, it's a two-way thing. We can be able to give to others, as we have been given by God, and sometimes through others. We want to give you now the opportunity to respond in prayer to what you have heard. It may be that you're thinking, yes, I would like Jesus Christ, Son of God, to be my Lord and Saviour. And if that's you, then this is a prayer that places entire reliance on God, and we remember that it is only because of Christ Jesus that we can be made right with God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is only one way by which we can be saved, and that way is through Jesus Christ. Jesus talks about a wide road and a narrow road, and a wide gate and a narrow gate. And the wide road and the wide gate lead to destruction, but the narrow gate and the narrow road lead to life. But that narrow road is actually as of Christ himself. When we come to Christ, then we can have that opportunity of coming to know him. God will be there with us. If you say the prayer in your heart, believing, and you speak with your mouth, confessing, you will be made right with God. Let's go and pray. Dear Lord, I'm sorry for the way that I have lived my life, my behavior and actions, thoughts, wrong attitudes, words both written and spoken, my broken promises, the ways I've let people and you down. Please forgive me. Please help me to repent, to turn away from all these wrong things. Please now come into my life by your Spirit to be my Lord and Saviour forever, and help me to be the person you want me to be. Amen. And listeners, God answers such prayers, particularly when they're spoken from the heart, because he knows all hearts. For the word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and judging the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things open and laid bare to the eyes of him to whom we are accountable. All these scriptures are coming to mind, and I believe that they are all relevant at this time. If you've said that with your mouth, believing in your heart, you've been made right with God. Start reading the Bible. Start doing what the Bible says. Particularly love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul and strength, and your neighbour as yourself. Start prayer, because prayer is talking to God. Pray about all things. Remember to thank God. Give of yourself. God will be with you. If you would like to ask any questions, or if you would like to tell us that you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Saviour, do please get in contact, and you can do that by sending an email through to rob, that's rob at g4g.org.uk. So that's rob at g4g.org.uk. Thank you very much. I'll be back again next week at the same time, God willing. Bye-bye for now.
This is your gospel in Croatian.
Ovo je tvoje evanđelje na hrvatskom jeziku. Jer ovako je Bog ljubio svijet, dao je sina svoga jedinorođenoga da svaki koji u njega vjeruje ne propadne, nego da ima život vječni.